This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the movie podcast review of X-Men 97. My name is Daniel. I am one of your hosts today, and joining alongside me in Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters are my fellow mutants, Shabazz.
Mutant and proud.
Mutant and proud. And Anthony.
Don't call me a mutant.
You muties. You muties will get muties what's coming to you.
Sounds worse though. Yeah, that definitely sounds
muties.
A little suspicious.
Awful. Not a great name to be called. It's a little suspicious. It's a little like right. It's a little right there.
It's a little sinister.
It's I like it. This is the movie podcast spoiler-free review of the first three episodes of X-Men 97. I cannot believe that we are talking about a show that is almost 30 years old, that has been off the air longer than a really long time, almost as long as I've been alive.
Most of our audience.
And we are talking about a series that is making a return. It's not a reboot. It is a direct continuation of where the original X-Men series, one of the most iconic animated series of all time, finished up, and we're coming right back to it. I cannot wait to get into our thoughts on the show. Again, we're staying spoiler free today. We will be giving our overall thoughts on the show, things like, you know, the characters, the dynamics of the team, you know, the animation, all of that. So we're going to be talking about our thoughts and some slight story stuff, but don't worry, we won't be revealing any surprises or anything like that. But yeah, this is very, very exciting. So we're so glad that you're here. If you had the opportunity to hang out with us at Toronto Comic Con this past weekend, we're so grateful that you did. And we're so grateful for our friends at Disney for inviting us to host a panel about this very show. And not only introduce the first episode to a very excited audience, so that was incredible. That was a life-changing event for us. But also have a Q&A with some of the original voice cast. That episode is out now, so please go check out our recording, our episode, if you weren't able to make it to Toronto Comic Con. We have our full conversation with the cast out now. Absolutely amazing. Shay, thoughts on the Comic Con weekend that we just had?
It was exactly like what I imagined myself as a kid being finally able to do. This is a dream come true. I think we've definitely hosted events like this before, panels before, but to be asked to do something like this, to be involved in something like this, was just incredible. And I'm still reeling in from it, because it was an actual dream come true.
It really was. Anthony, how about yourself?
Yeah, it was a surreal moment. It's kind of full circle. Never in a million years would I have thought that I would be hosting the rebranding of the original X-Men animated series. So
right.
it's a little nice, you know, gift from the past to the present for yeah. me as a child.
Yeah. I think you said it's full circle, right? It's that moment where it's like, oh my God, we're doing this. And we did it in our 90s attire. We had a great time with everyone. So please, if you weren't able to check us out at Toronto Comic Con, make sure you check out the episode. It is live now on all podcast feeds. And follow us on social media, because you'll get to see all of our great outfits for the night, what the event looked like. It was really, really cool. Disney really went all out with making it feel like, you know, a Saturday morning watching cartoons in your parents' basement vibe. It was awesome. But of course, this is the Movie Podcast. You can catch brand new episodes all throughout the week. We have lots of reviews and lots of interviews coming your way. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that and more. And like I said, make sure you follow us on socials at the Movie Podcast so you can stay up to date with everything we have going on. And of course, if you have a couple bucks to toss our way, if you want to help us keep the lights and the mics on, you could join us on Patreon. You could subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. And you could leave us 5 stars. That goes a long way. If you don't have any money to toss our way, don't worry. Leaving us 5 stars helps us out a lot. So please consider doing that. But today is all about X-Men. We are back. We're wearing our X-Men shirts right now. X-Men 97 is debuting with 2 episodes on Disney Plus on March 20th. And again, I want to say thank you to our friends at Disney for inviting us to watch the show early so we could get our review to you today. Let's get right into it. You know, this is a series that, like we said at the top of the show, this is picking up directly after the events of the final season of X-Men back in 1997. Shay, give us your thoughts going into X-Men 97. Were you a big fan of the show growing up? And did it deliver on the promise of your childhood?
The promise of my childhood.
It's a bit of a weighted question. Heavy question.
Yeah. Are you my therapist? Are you my therapist? What's going on here?
I just want to know. Let's talk through it.
Look, when you ask the question of if I was a fan of the original X-Men animated show, massive fan. My life is dedicated around that show. I watched it religiously. I had a lot of articles of clothing and toys and everything imaginable around the X-Men animated series, along with the Spider-Man animated series. Those are my two main watches. So there is a little bit of excitement that I have also going into the Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man show, even though it's not a continuation. The point is, when it comes to X-Men 97, it is fantastic. Does it live up to my expectations? It surpasses them. Absolutely. There was a little bit of nervousness going into this because, you know, you're touching something that is part of your childhood. You're really going in and saying, hey, we know how that show ended. And again, if anyone remembers, the last season of that show was a little, you know, wishy-washy. Animation style was different. So it maybe wasn't the greatest ending of a show that you could imagine. So you're kind of going into this like, we're in a new era. To the people who love that show, can they honor it the correct way? And I'm so happy to say they do it extreme amount of justice to the show. This feels fresh. It feels matured. It's a show that feels like it's aged with its audience. You know, we're watching it and I don't feel like I'm watching a show that I would have watched as a child. I feel like the show is accessible to so many age demographics. There's enough of that feeling of when you watch a show as a kid and you're like, oh, this is kind of old, like this, or this has like an adult joke in it. This show has that, where I understand the adult jokes, I understand the jokes that are more targeted towards the younger audience, and I love that about it. I love that there's a consistency in how this show is demonstrating what the comic storyline has been versus what the previous show did. I felt like in the original X-Men animated series, the storylines were always these special events that were occurring. You had Dark Phoenix, you had Apocalypse, you had all these things that felt like we're doing a 5-part series and then maybe we'll touch back on it later. In the first 3 episodes of this show, it really feels like there's a consistency in how the comics were written. So when the storyline is coming through, it's coming in so naturally that you're like, wait, oh my God, they're doing this from the comics, or they're doing this from the comics. And You love that about it. You love that it's going to a place where it feels familiar, but also still surprises you. There's the thing that everybody wants to talk about here, and I think I'm gonna break the silence on it. The X-Men theme song is back with a vengeance. It is so damn good. It hits even harder. And I remember in high school, I had it as my ringtone for so long, because every time someone would call me, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to pick up. I'm just going to let this ring for the whole time.
Shay, please, we need you to answer your phone. Answer to an emergency.
It's the police, please. it's Professor X calling. It's such a good show. And I want you guys to talk about it too, but wow, I can't believe how much I love it. Like, there's such an overwhelming relief that I had after the first 3 episodes finished. I was like, wow, that was even better than I could have ever imagined it to be.
I like that you brought up a relief. And because, again, you're touching something. It's very difficult to go back on nostalgia. We know this from a lot of films that we've seen over the years where we're like, okay, we're doing a legacy sequel. We're doing something that is going to directly touch on something that was formative to you as a child. And a lot of the times it doesn't work. It is something that people will be like, oh, why are you touching this? You're ruining my childhood. Why would you even want to attempt to touch this? But you said it so well, Shay, that this is something that feels like it's aged with its audience. At the end of the day, the original X-Men show was a cartoon that gave in the mornings or whenever you would watch it after school, whatever, but it was still very focused on children. And yes, there were more mature storylines that would happen, but this is a lot more of an in-depth, serious take on what they started in the 90s. I think this is the type of show that they would make back in the 90s if they had the time and the resources, right? Yes, it's only 10 episodes long, the series. We've seen the first three. But what it does so well so far is bring you storylines that matter, give you the team dynamics that you want to see, hear the voices that you remember hearing. Yes, there are some changes either from people who have passed away or doing things that, you know what, let's actually cast the person's ethnicity who's this character as the role for the show, right? And that's great that they were able to do that. But when you're touching something that's a direct line to people's childhood, it's always a risky bet. But I'm so excited to talk more about it. I'll give my thoughts in a second. But Anthony, please jump on in. Give us your thoughts on X-Men 97.
Yeah, it's also the first Disney Marvel Studios series.
For Marvel Animation and now.
Marvel Animation, yeah. Series, movie, whatever, that's not tied to the MCU directly at this point. Right now, it's its own thing. So that alone is so different, right? Like, we have been given so much MCU films and TV series that are connected, and this is exactly what the MCU needs right now. It's something completely not connected, and I hope they'll never connect it, because it is almost like this Elseworlds story that we are being reintroduced to the X-Men with a show that introduced the X-Men to the masses. Because yeah, before that there was just the comic books, right? So the animated show is the first version of the X-Men to give a voice to Wolverine, to give, you know, Rogue her Southern Belle vibe. So when you think of the X-Men, that's the first thing you think of. So this series really honors that and continues that storyline of things that we might have read in the comics and bring them to life. And I'm so excited to see a lot of these episodes where I'm like, yeah, I remember that in this issue and that issue. And there's just a level of production value that went into this series that, you know, I'm a big fan of Invincible, and Invincible has great animation at points, but like nothing comes close to what you're going to get from the X-Men. Like, the X-Men animated series is like crazy good animation. There is a sequence in the beginning of
and you're talking about 97 specifically right now.
Sorry,
right?
97 yeah. Specifically. Yes, if I confused you, but there are sequences. There's a dance sequence with Jubilee. Not a spoiler. You see it in
the trailer.
But there's a depth perspective of her dancing. She has like the whole 80s gear on. She has the glasses down. She's dancing, and the whole animation, the hair, the blurred background, just feels so good. And like, man, they really gave this series the budget to make something like this. And it shows. Like, there are really hype moments, especially in the first episode, where you're just like, wow, Cyclops is tracking down like Captain America from the sky because something happens. And he's just like, you feel him just diving down. It's like he has this Captain America moment. But the X-Men animated series is a very important childhood memory. Like, I grew up with it. Saturday mornings and sometimes Sunday nights when there was like special premieres, the X-Men animated series was the first cartoon animation that I watched that really continued a story. It wasn't a bottled story. They were just they would reflect back on 7 episodes, and they would talk about things that happened a while ago or go backwards and forwards. That was not seen in animation stories like that. It was just not common. It did have a soap opery vibe, I would say, like rewatching the original animated. There is a level of soap opera and
corniness.
Yes.
Yeah, it's of its time. It's, right? Corny, it's, so, right? It's very a product of their time.
Unhinged. Storm with her claustrophobia and just like, please. And Professor X, just love Lore and Wolverine. Everyone is a little unhinged. I feel like this one, they're more stable.
They feel like real characters, right? They really feel like real characters.
That third episode's a little, maybe probably the most unhinged that I've seen these guys go through. Yeah, I'm just floored. Unexpected. I thought it would just be basic storytelling. They really did a great job of maturing these characters. There's sexual tension. I know there's tension that you see it. There's blood sometimes. There's some really interesting,
it's scary, man. It's
animation scary. That they use for certain dream sequences or maybe going into someone's mind. It is really, really well done.
I am so excited. And I'm going to do this without doing too many like excited, extraordinary, excellent type puns throughout. But I am so excited. For example, when we saw that trailer drop about a month ago, and we're just like, oh damn, like this looks really good. The fact that they're leaning into that nostalgia of what that original series was. Anthony said it, like this was what X-Men was for so many people. The X-Men animated series, the original OG series. This is what defined how the X-Men sounded, you know, to me, how they looked, how they interacted with one another. So going into the X-Men movies as a kid, I'd be like, oh, why are they all wearing black leather? Or like, why are they all like, where's Rogue? Like, or like, what, where's Rogue's powers? Or like, where's Gambit? Like, because like, this is who you expect these characters to be. And, you know, and, you know, the director of those films was very adamant on making it not what was in the comic books or not what was in that animated series. And funny enough, it was Kevin Feige who was, you know, secretly giving Hugh Jackman Wolverine comics and telling him about the animated series to be like, this is who your character is. And I love the fact that we're getting a continuation of this. And I love that this is not connected to the MCU. The MCU has its own lore and baggage, and it's its own incredible thing. X-Men has its legacy. This series, and when you see the Marvel Animation logo start up, and it's a new kind of intro for this new fanfare, you see, you know, the animated shows that made up this universe, right? Because it wasn't just X-Men. You know, X-Men would appear on episodes of Spider-Man and Fantastic Four, and you know, you'd see Iron Man, and you see these characters, they'd be in this shared universe. This was the original MCU back in the day, right? Of what these 90s cartoons were. And I love how faithful it is to the look. There is moments in this series where you see like Cyclops's like glasses and you're seeing reflections in it, or you're having these camera movements in 2D. And like, you know, there's a scene where Jubilee is talking to Sunspot and the camera like pulls over his shoulder. And I'm like, whoa, this is a crazy camera movement to see in 2D. And it just goes to show how much they're putting into this, how cinematic it is. You're so right, Jay. Like how incredible the production value is of what they're doing. And they're not ignoring what's come before. In that first episode, you hear them reference Senator Kelly, and you know, Senator Kelly's back. And you know, last time we dealt with him, they were trying to replace the minds of all the UN leaders with computers. And it's just funny that they're keeping that continuity going forward, but they're also elevating it, they're expanding it. The first three episodes that we've seen, I am astonished of how much ground that we've covered already in terms of storylines, the character dynamics. This is what's really working for me in this show, is the character dynamics. It's Wolverine, it's Morph, it's Cyclops. Cyclops, I'm not going to lie to you guys, he was one of my least favorite characters in the animated series, because I always felt that he was just such like the teacher's pet, the good guy who was always just like, oh, I'm going to do the right thing, or I'm going to do this. Like, he was boring to me in that original series. Again, he had good moments, but he was boring.
He also like, it didn't help that in the movies, the live action ones, he didn't
He was just
like, he wasn't a fan favorite.
No, he was just very stoic. He was just always just like, oh, we gotta do that.
Through even the comics, he's always been, you know, a good boy.
Yeah.
You know, that's just his character until
for sure
he kills Professor Xavier one day in one of the issues.
Yeah.
But it's just part of his character. It's like Captain America always being a good guy. For sure.
But I think there's like depth that you could bring to that. And that's where I was going to, where you get so much more depth to why he is the way he is in this. It's not just like Anthony mentioned earlier, like the soap opera that the 90s show was a lot of the time, right? Where it would have just like these crazy, outrageous moments. But you really get a sense of like, okay, I am leading this team now. I am, you know, we saw that Jean Grey is pregnant. He's having to deal with that and his relationships with also, you know, the fact that Professor Xavier is not here and Magneto's back in the picture. You feel the weight of the world on his shoulders in this. I think that's really, really cool. And then you're also having a lot of these new characters being introduced, like Sunspot. You have a lot more fleshed out roles for Magneto, who I'm shocked that he is one of my favorite characters so far. He has a very 90s outfit in this. It's like just the big M with the big sleeves. I'm like, you know what? I believe this man could pull this off. He's rocking that outfit. It's really funny, but I'm having an absolute blast with this series. It's absolutely incredible so far.
I'm really glad you brought up the Jubilee dance sequence, Anthony, because it was one of those moments for me early on in the show where I was like, whoa, like this show is not at all what I expected. This is an adult show in a way. I mean, still accessible to children very, very much, but it made it feel like that. Yeah, we're growing up with this show. This is where we're supposed to be at. And I love that it is tying so much into what came before it. It's not ignoring it. It's really just developing it further. And my God, I'm having a great time. The show also gets pretty scary. There's a lot of like body horror. I don't know how else to describe it without getting into spoilers. But, I
mean, the 90s show had that too, happens. Right? Like when you think of like the Montendo episodes, right? But they had like these ways of characters like morphing. You're like, oh, like that's unsettling to watch.
It reminded me of the Cronenberg world from Rick and Morty. Just if these characters are from Cronenberg world, if that makes any sense to you as a viewer. That would
absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Monsters.
And you're right, Daniel, like Magneto, easily my favorite character along with Morph. I'm loving. And then everybody else is doing great. I think Jubilee always became like the butt of the joke in the old X-Men animated series. It was like, oh, she's a kid. And oh, she's sometimes you'll find her annoying or whatever, but no, she's also wicked in this show. Everybody is. Everybody does such a good job in this series. Man, I love it a lot.
Yeah, I'm surprised on the episode lengths as well. They're all clocking in just under 30 minutes. For those of you of the original series would know, 20-minute episodes, sometimes they're 18 minutes long, sometimes they're 21 minutes long, because those shows were just ads nonstop. I feel like growing up, I'd be watching X-Men. Every like 3 minutes was an ad back then.
It was like maybe like 8 minutes to 12 minutes of a storyline in those episodes, because there was a lot of flashbacks and you'd rewatch scenes of a previous episode over and over. But even not even the previously, it would be like they're telling Wolverine's or, you know, Weapon X story, but then they'd show it again with an extra scene attached to it. It's like, oh,
it's interesting because, but again, I think back then when, like Anthony said it, you know, it was that original series. It was like one of the first like animated series for kids that would have these story arcs that would go on through 3, 4, 5 episodes sometimes. Right. But also, they weren't in control of when these episodes would be airing. A lot of the times these episodes would air. I always remember sometimes watching it. Like if I watched it from like before school, I'd watch it like 7 a.m. and then 7:30 a.m. there would be an episode. But if I watched it at 8 a.m., if it was like on again, it would be like a completely different season, completely different episode. They didn't rely on people watching shows like we do now, where they want complete story arcs. And I'm so glad that Marvel was like, okay, let's focus on 10 episodes, because what we've gone so far is there's so many through lines over these first 3 episodes, and they're each focusing on a new, you know, story event that's going to only increase in, I guess, its importance as we go on. But, you know, we mentioned the animation, and I wanted to get back to the animation style, because one of the things that I was worried about, you know, obviously the 90s show has such a 90s look to it, right? You can't escape it. This feels a lot more updated. It's letterboxed a little bit as well too, so it's not like it's full screen on our TVs, which gives it a little bit more of a cinematic look. It looks a lot more wider when you're watching it. but the animation style looks very cool. It almost has like an Akira look to it sometimes with some shots. Anthony, I'd love for you to give your thoughts on just the visual aesthetic of this show and how you think it holds up to the 90s show.
Well, there is the Disney lips and eyes that you'll notice a lot from in this series, but I think they still were able to capture the look and feel. For instance, Beast, you'll see he has more fur, it's more curled, it's more kind of like predominant, so it looks like he's more fluffy rather than just being blue and have the fur kind of like hairs from the night, like that the original 90s look. So he has more depth to his body. Even like Rogue, she's still Rogue with the gray and the brown hair and the jacket, but like there's just more depth to these characters, and it could be a mixture of this 2D, 3D animation that they're bringing to this series. But I think the level of detail and the level of production value, now I know why it took so long for this show to come out, because it, you can clearly see it. There are sequences with Gambit and Wolverine where he will kind of give him the kinetic energy and his adamantium
they powers up
his blades power up and he slices through something. That's a lot, like just seeing that in action while everything else is happening in the background, like that type of animation is hard to make, and it's crazy to see because these are the X-Men and this is the first time again we're seeing the X-Men like this. It's just a very exciting look to these characters, very refreshing. I think for me, I personally wish Wolverine was a little bit more bulkier and a little bit more hairier. I don't particularly like the hair on the arms just being so
like fine.
Line drawn. Yeah. Fine. It's just like this a line. I feel like his bicep should be much bigger. He should be more bulkier and more animal looking.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of he needs to have the teeth coming out or like the fur out of the face, but more just someone who is grizzly looking.
Yeah.
And I think they need that for this character. Yeah. But when we're talking about favorite characters, I think Cyclops does a really good job of making you like him in the first episode.
Yeah.
Especially how he uses his powers, and you know, he goes through a lot. He is the leader of the X-Men, so to speak. There's things that change, but he takes on this responsibility, and I do like him as a character. Wolverine will always be my favorite character.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's nice to see these three episodes, which one thing that we didn't mention, all leave on a cliffhanger for the next episode. So it makes you really want to return. There's never a bottle story, and there probably will be, but each episode has this cliffhanger ending that you just want to watch that second. Yeah. And that, and they're very similar to the books.
Yeah.
Very, very
smart. You're just like, damn, like I need the next episode now. So it's been so fun watching it, but especially where things end in episode three, I'm like, oh my God, now we have to wait. I know we're very privileged to watch these episodes, but that's just a testament to how good the writing is of the show. And Anthony, you know, you mentioned Cyclops. There's some, again, like I said, there's some shots of Cyclops is like glass, his eye that look incredible.
His visor.
Yeah. That look incredible. Just his suit alone. I mean, this, like the shading on the blue with the yellow, the pops of color in the show look incredible. And it really made me miss having been going through the X-Men films as well in anticipation of this show and of Deadpool and Wolverine, of like, oh my gosh, like these characters, the X-Men are such incredibly well written characters. I wish we got this version of them on the big screen. And I'm like, I would so take an animated X-Men 97 film too. Like, in this style.
I just don't think work on the big screen. I just don't think
live action.
There's impossible. Yeah, like there's, it just not, it's not gonna look as good.
I think the closest we got was X-Men First Class. Like at the end of that film, they are wearing like the yellow suits. And again, I guess at that time it did make sense. So that's probably the closest we've gone, not counting Deadpool and Wolverine.
Right, which is giving the accurate looks. But you're right, Anthony, right? Like you're thinking about like how are these characters are going to translate to the screen? How is like you know, Jubilee's like just jacket and yellow gloves going to look next
the
to
the flow of her jacket, right? Like just the, her look,
there's
her
a hair, stylistic
hair physics,
the hair physics, right? That, did, 100%.
Did we mention hair physics? The hair physics is on top. Yeah. Like it moves. That hair moves.
It's really cool. And like
everyone's hair is moving.
And the one thing that we haven't really spoken about too much is the voice acting.
Let's get into it.
So good. I mean, we're having a lot of people return from the original series, and we're having some new faces appear as well. Everyone does a phenomenal job. Like you're settled right in. I think there isn't a single portrayal or performance that I'm like, oh, that doesn't work for me. I'm loving it all.
What I like, especially, like characters like Storm, who in the original series, it's the same voice actress coming back for Storm. But Storm in the original series was very over the top. And you still get that sensibility here. Like she still speaks like she did in the 90s show, but it feels a little bit more mature and reserved. Every line of her isn't "by the Arctic winds, I come out." Like it's not like that as much anymore.
That was a good Storm.
I've been practicing, you know, but everyone really gets their moment to shine. And when you have the dynamics of a team that is a huge roster of characters, they've been really been able to balance these character dynamics. And I think we're also so conditioned in the last 20 years of X-Men films to think of Wolverine as the main X-Men. Yes, he's the most popular one, but Wolverine is not the main character of the series. And I think that's so refreshing. They're using Wolverine how he was used in the 90s series. And I'm curious for the team making the show right now and making these future seasons, how are they going to, I guess, adapt to the last 25 plus years of X-Men comics, to shows, to movies, characters that people really didn't know back then, like Deadpool. Deadpool has like a blink and you miss it cameo a couple times in the animated series. He never speaks. Is Deadpool going to show up in this series? Is Scarlet Witch going to have a bigger arc? We know she's in the original series, but is she going to be given a lot more to do? Are we going to get that, like, No More Mutants, you know, that whole House of M storyline, that happening fully? There's a lot that they could explore in this series that are more newer additions or more recent additions to the lore of X-Men. Anthony, what do you think?
They have like 50, I don't know how many years from 1963 to now, I don't know how many years that is, but they have a lot of storyline, even though they captured a lot of that in the animated. But there is quite a bit of storyline that we haven't yet gotten. For instance, Wolverine's background, like really diving into Wolverine's past, not just his Weapon X phase, but more of how he grew up in I think it was Alberta, and how he was always a sick kid and how he became Wolverine, things like that. I think they have huge opportunities to tell. But I like you see it. There's a lot of the third episode takes a storyline from the 80s. So they bring it in. Kitty Pryde's not even in here. Colossus, Nightcrawler. There's a lot of X-Men who are not part of this universe yet that they still have a chance to bring in and continue their story. Omega Red, like there's so much. Yeah. Like I would love to see Wolverine and Omega Red go at it one more time.
Yeah.
Captain America and, you know, Black Widow and Wolverine during World War II. I know I'm making it more of a Wolverine thing, but
but there's a lot, right? Like even Sunspot,
there's a lot.
Character that we got in the original series, we're getting him here. There's a lot of other characters that you're going to see introduced in the first three episodes that are going to make you like, oh wow, there's that person, or Morph is
love triangles,
or Morph is turning into this character. And it's like, cool. It's cool to see that. It's cool to have a character like Morph use their powers and turn into different characters that we know of, that they may be challenging or channeling, their powers. But it's really cool. And like, yeah, there's so many places that they could go to. Shay, you mentioned earlier the music. The Newton brothers are the composers for this series. When that theme song drops, it's a new remixed version of it. It's very similar, but it sounds bigger. And when you listen back to the original X-Men theme, it feels very 90s. It feels very made like synthesizer based song. This feels a lot bigger and larger in scope. And when it shows throughout the episodes, it sounds really good. And I'm just so excited to have that soundtrack drop as well, because then we'll actually have a proper version of this X-Men theme, and that has, you know, been so iconic for 30 years at this point.
The one thing that I am, I guess, curious about is, do they continue with the number? Is it X-Men 97 now? Next year, is it X-Men 98? X-Men 99, 2000. Like, I would have preferred just called X-Men Children of the Atom. When you put a year, it feels like, well, we're going to have to move on from this year after
eventually,
this year,
right?
And go through. But I just feel like it's going to get tiring, because you'll also have to like match those years up with the characters a bit. And so you're now spending time focusing on, well, what did this year bring, or what did the two, because they're going to hit the 2000s, right? Like 97 to 2000 they're very similar. But when you hit 2000, what does the 2000s look like? So it's, I would prefer just the number removed and just say X-Men, but I get what they're trying to do just to kind of reinitiate the series again. But yeah, it's something that I'm wondering what do we do? Do we continue with the year, or do we just call it something else?
Yeah.
Or is there a limited year to
there's
this?
A limited, like,
is there
year?
A limited series to this point? To this,
it's a good question. Honestly, show. Like I dig the name only because I think they really want people to know, hey, this is a continuation of like that 90s show, and we're having that nostalgia play in it. 90s and late 90s, 2000s culture is really, really popular right now. But I am curious, you're right, because going forward, next season, is it going to be X-Men 97 season 2, or are they going to call it X-Men 98 or continue on that way? There's a lot of possibilities where they could go with it, but because also when you look at the original series, I mean, just X-Men, the animated series, you don't really ever think of it in, you don't really think of time as passing as much. I mean, that's with all animated shows, right? I mean, Bart Simpson would be like a 6-year-old man at this point. But like you always think about time is almost frozen in the universes like this. But it's a great question though for us to discuss on future episodes. So if you like what we're doing, if you like what we're talking, if you want us to keep talking about X-Men 97 in depth, let us know. Leave a comment on this video right in to the show, hello@themoviepodcast.ca. We'd love to keep talking about it if there's an interest there. That way we could really dive into spoilers for the show. But let us know. Until then, let's get to our final recommendations of X-Men 97. And Shabazz, I'm going to get you to start us off.
I mean, based on these first three episodes, this is a definite watch it. You have to see this show. It is fantastic. I'm so excited to see where it goes. And if it continues to live up to these expectations that have now been built up while watching it, it is exactly what you wanted as a child. And now it's manifested as something even better.
I'm right there with you. This is a watch it. I think this is the definitive version of who the X-Men are. So much of what made the 90s show great, X-Men 97 makes it amazing. They really give these characters they do. They mature things where they need to. They really expand this universe, and they give us a show that not only is faithful to what we've gone before, but just an extraordinary revival of everything that we loved. There is some incredible animation here. I am truly blown away. I think that's something that I know we spoke about a lot. I am blown away by the look of the show. I'm so happy that a show like this can exist, and we're getting more of it, I hope. And you know, we're getting a different animation style with Spider-Man freshman year. So that leaves a lot to look forward to. And over the next, you know, this 10 episode season, I really think we're in for something truly special. Watch it. Anthony, take us home.
Yeah, this is a definite watch it. It's everything you hope for this, you know, these outcasts, and really being that kid who watched that show religiously and then coming into these three episodes, I was just floored. It was just fantastic. Incredible, incredible. Just mature storyline, great animation, great performances. And those cliffhangers really drive you into, like, I want to watch more. Like, I can't see this series just faltering after the third episode. Like, it can only get better, right? Like,
there's hell goes down right here.
There's 10 episodes this season. I was like, wow. Like, I can't wait to get to 10, because there's going to be more. And I just hope, you know, this show gets the attendance and the viewership And it's something that people new and old will love. You know, I just hope that, because this is such a fantastic series. It's so unexpected from Disney. It is unexpected. I just did not expect this.
Yeah, because it feels like something that is like, oh my gosh, you're giving us something that is, again, whoever thought that we'd get a sequel to that series? It's like getting a sequel series to like the Batman animated series today, or getting like, or Spider-Man, like the animated. It's like, it's such a fever dream. It is such a mic. It's such a dream of an announcement to happen, and we got it.
But we're so trained too, to be like, this story is connected to everything else in the MCU. So getting it, it's just so refreshing. Like, no, it's not. This is like the X-Men. Like, we are getting the X-Men before a live action. That is something that is not in the vocabulary of Marvel Studios. I hope they take this thinking and continue with this, you know, blueprint, and do other stories like X-Force,
yeah,
or Deadpool.
100%. Give us more Alpha Flights. You know, what's Puck up to?
Yeah, what's Puck up to?
What are all those, you know, fine Canadian mutants up to? And again, shout out to Canada. So much of this voice cast is Canadian. So much of the X-Men themselves are Canadian. So it's so cool seeing that representation. You know, it's awesome seeing that. And I just cannot wait to keep talking about this show. Again, if you like what we're doing here at the Movie Podcast, let us know. Give us 5 stars. Follow us on socials. Again, if you want us to talk about this series more, let us know. Engage with this episode, because we would love to talk in spoilers every week about it, because there is so much to dive into. And I'm so excited we're in the time of the world that all of us will be able to talk about what's coming next, our predictions, what we're hoping to see. It's an awesome time to be an X-Men fan again. It's been a long road to get here, and we're really in for a special year, I think, with this, and then Deadpool and Wolverine later in July. Of course, this is the Movie Podcast. You can catch brand new episodes all throughout the week. Like I said, make sure you follow us on socials. If you want to support us on Discord, that'd be great, and on Patreon. Everything you need to know is in the show notes below. But until then, that was This Time with the Movie Podcast, and we'll see you next.